Okay, so I'm Liz James Robinson, and I am 41.
All right. Question number one. What kind of student were you in high school? Were you a jock? Were you a nerd? Were you a straight-A student? Were you a stoner?
I don't really feel like I fit into any of those categories. I definitely hung out with the party kids, because I struggled in high school to meet friends. So I was one of the kids that drank just because that was what got me friends.
Would you consider yourself an outcast?
No, I wasn't an outcast. I had a hard time after we moved. We moved from Oregon. I was in fifth grade, and I know that sounds like fifth grade, you should be able to recover, mm-hmm. but I never really could. So everybody else had all these tight-knit friendships, and I could never really figure out how to fit in until I got to high school and I started drinking with people, and that's how I finally kind of figured out how to fit in, and I think because drinking let me come out of my shell. I was just shy.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know how to talk to people.
Okay. What was the most trouble you got into as a kid?
Oh, jeez.
Is there anything, any story you want to tell or set the record straight on, I should say?
Definitely in high school, I was not good. There were a couple big instances where, one, my parents went away to France and left me with a neighbor, but left me access to the house. So I had come home from school one day, and we decided to get into my dad's beer. We all drank some beer. I had never done that before.
How old are you at this time?
15.
Okay.
I had my permit, and my dad had a brand new Jeep Wrangler, and I wanted to impress one of the guys that I was with. And so I decided to drive him home in the middle of rush hour traffic after I'd had my first, like, three beers ever.
Oh, my gosh.
Not good. Turns out, too, he was gay. I'm not sure what I was trying to impress, so good thing I lived through it. And then I got in trouble for a long time, lost my license for a year, and then when I finally got my license back, one summer I was taking my friend out for her birthday, so we all had gone into a club in D.C., and I had forgotten to put my pager on because it didn't match my outfit, and Laura needed the car the next day, so she was calling me, couldn't get a hold of me, and finally my mom called the person's house I was supposed to be spending the night at. And her dad said, well, they're all in D.C. clubbing. So, of course, my parents flipped out, and I got pulled over by a police officer that said, your dad's looking for you. I've never been so scared in my life.
How does that work? How do you call the cops and tell them to keep their eye out for a teenage girl?
I don't understand, because most people have missing persons time period or whatever. Mm-hmm. But dad was in law enforcement stuff, so I'm sure he just had friends.
So you think he just knew a guy, yeah. And he was just like, hey, my teenage daughter's out and get doing no good?
Yeah. Yeah, and then they found me, and I got into huge trouble for that. And then probably I just got good at hiding it, because I can tell you I continued to party the rest of the way through high school. But I had a really, really close friend that her mom was a single mom and didn't care, so we'd always just spend the night at her house. Mm. So that was how we got around it. And then I think the next big time I got caught was when I went to Beach Week my senior year. And I was not drinking, but the room we had, I was upstairs doing beer bongs with some other people. And the room we had, people were drinking on the porch underage, and the police came and gave them citations. But then when they figured out I had rented their room, they let all of them go and gave me the ticket.
Did you get an MIP or?
No, I think it was just public disturbance. But for that one, my dad called somebody and said, hey, listen, she's going to college in the fall. She can't come back for this court hearing. Can we just give her community service? So I just got community service that summer, and then it wasn't on my record.
How much community service did you have to do?
I can't remember. It was a lot of library card stamping. Maybe like, I don't know, 12 hours or something like that.
Oh,
it wasn't
that
huge.
Too bad.
No, it wasn't huge.
Yeah, okay.
No.
This may be premature because your kids are still young, but what's the most trouble your kids have got into? Have they painted on your walls or done anything crazy?
No, I would say Rebecca has done nothing big, really bad yet at all. Jacob, he's too little to get into trouble per se, but we've had some instances, you know, of sticking things up his nose and having to go to urgent care to have them removed.
Well, that's a good story. Tell that story. I mean, that's not really trouble. That's just an interesting story.
So the first time it happened, JJ came up to me. He loves popcorn. He loves it. So he had his own bowl of popcorn, and he came up to me and he said, Mommy, look what I can do. And he stuffed one up his nose, and I was like, no, JJ. And when I popped it out, I noticed there was another one there.
Oh, no.
And I popped out that one, and I could see another one. And so we called the nurse and said, what do we do? And she said, no, it'll be fine. But then another one popped out, and I could see another one. And I was like, geez, that's like Brie? What do we... No, we got to go. So we went to the
urgent
care.
Is this popcorn or kernels?
These are kernels.
Okay, okay.
Up one side. Only one side. This little tiny nose. Mm-hmm. We had to go to urgent care, and on the way there, another one popped out. That's what, four? Mm-hmm. Then we got there, and when they were checking his nose out, he got so mad, another one popped out. That was five. And then we could see something else, so they strapped him to a board and popped the last one out. That little boy got six kernels of popcorn up his nose.
Did they literally have to tie him down?
Oh, they put him on, you know, when they rescue you and they put you on a board? They had to put him on one of those.
Just to keep him from squirming?
Strap him. Yep, strap him in. So then, fast forward 3 months, he calls me into his room. He says, Mommy, look what I can do. And he had a whale, and he had bitten the end of the whale off the tail mm-hmm. into little tiny pieces, and he had stuffed them up his nose. So this time when we went, he remembered the board. Mm-hmm. So they had to put him in a pillowcase this time, strap him to the board, and I thought he had one piece of whale up his nose. That's what I had told them, which everyone was like, a whale? What's happening?
Yeah. You tell these people my kid has a whale up his nose.
And they put this thing up his nose and blew a balloon, and like eight pieces of this whale tail came shooting out of his nose.
You underestimated his...
Not even.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, he's going to be a mess. If you ask me that question again in 10 years, I'm sure we'll have some more stories.
Yeah. He's still got time. That's just little kid stuff, man. That happens to everybody. What was your favorite memory of your parents? Did they have like a tradition or that you enjoyed, or like a favorite family meal or something like that?
You know, I'd have to say like I miss this a lot now, that our holidays were very traditional. My mom worked really hard to make them special. So Thanksgivings were like the whole decked out meal, and I didn't know how special that was, that we would all sit down, we'd make everybody dress up, like, you know, we'd put on dresses and make my dad wear a tux, and it, you know.
Wow, really?
But just when we were in Vienna, we didn't have a lot of family to get together with, so it was just, you know, something to make it special for us, get the china out and everything like that. But just sitting at a table having a meal together on the holidays, so special to me growing up. And the only reason I miss it now is that Terrence's family, I mean, bless them, their grandma just has a small house. There's no room for everybody, but everybody eats where you could find a seat on a styrofoam plate. Completely different experience.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
The food's completely different. I don't like it. nothing wrong with them or what they do. It's just their traditions are completely different, and
right.
I just really have learned to appreciate that, and I've been trying to figure out how we can incorporate that into our family, because we're always going, my kids are going to remember styrofoam plates on the couch.
Oh, yeah, that is tough. Do you have a favorite family vacation you took as a kid?
Oh, my gosh. I do have to say my parents did a really good job of taking us on family vacations. We camped a lot. We traveled all through, you know, Oregon, Washington, Canada. And I cannot remember a specific place we went, but I remember we would always pile in that big brown van that had no air conditioning. And my mom would give us water guns to keep each other cool. And me and my sisters would fight over who got the middle seat, because that was the seat you got to yourself and you could stretch out. That was the place to be. But it was just so fun. We went everywhere in that brown van, and then camped or stayed in cabins, or we went to Yellowstone, and we went to Canada one time, and, you know, this was before they had Great Wolf Lodges, and we went to an indoor water park with slides, and I thought that was the coolest thing I'd ever done in my life. Mm-hmm. It's funny that I say that, because they also did, you know, took the effort to take us to Disney, which was fun. But I don't think of that as, you know, as cool as the other trips that they took us on.
So you were the youngest of three.
Three, yeah.
Did they pick on you?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Yeah. Laura, yeah.
Laura
could push my buttons, she'll do it on purpose, and she still will do it on purpose. She still, to this day, can make me cry if she wants to. And she used to send me into a rage. My dad will tell you that he used to be scared when we were in high school, because he'd come home from work and, like, it would be stories about how I had either chased Laura around the house with a knife because I was so mad at her, or she'd hit me with a belt. One time she kicked my finger and, what do you call it?
Dislocated it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or jammed it, just jammed it. Mm-hmm. But we would fight like cats and dogs, Laura and I, until really I was a freshman in high school and she was a senior, and then things kind of switched.
Hmm. But you didn't fight with Sarah so much?
I did not fight with Sarah as much, but poor Sarah was more of a mother figure to me, especially when we moved to Vienna, because my parents went back to work so much. Sarah was just the one around.
And how much older is Sarah than you?
5 years.
Okay, so that's a decent amount of. Let's see. What was your first job after high school, your first, like, non-fast food job?
What did I do first? After high school, so in college?
Sure.
I worked at CC's Pizza in college, but then I got a job at the Medical Foundation for East Carolina. So East Carolina's Medical Foundation for the medical school. I got a job in their accounting office, and my degree was an accounting degree. So I processed all the paperwork, and I did that for 3 years until I graduated.
So you had a job in your field while you were in college?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's cool.
But it only paid like, I think, $6 or $7 an hour. It was an experience job, not a make money job.
Right. Well, I mean, you're what, 19? Aren't they kind of all that way?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. But...
I guess. Yeah, I guess that I shouldn't say that because several people have told me they got really good jobs during high school. Wasn't me. I was working at Barnes and Noble. So, let's see. So you had three sisters, and you saw your your mom have five siblings. Did that inspire you, or did that make you want to have a big family at all, or did you want to have a small family, or
no?
I mean, you kind of had a unique family journey when it comes to that. So
I did. I wanted a big family. Terrence wanted a big family too. I at least wanted four kids. I always saw Uncle George's family with their four kids, and I thought that was so cool how it was evened off, whereas we had three, and there was always kind of an odd man out. And I just thought it was neat having more people. So I always wanted a big family. I always wanted kids. I honestly did not even want to go to college. I just wanted to start a family. That's all I wanted to do. And, of course, my parents pushed me to go to college, and I'm glad they did. But that was very known to Terrence when we got married that, that was important to me. And so I think it was just a little extra devastating for us when we found out we couldn't have kids.
So you have two kids now.
I do.
Do you want to have more?
No.
You're done?
Because I'm a little old now for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we tried for 8 years before we had kids. And so now I feel like I have trouble keeping up with them sometimes. And now just having them, and they're expensive. And to get them here was expensive. So our savings account kind of got busted up.
Yeah.
And I just don't feel like it would be fair to bring another kid in.
Having kids is a young man's game. I feel you. Yeah. I get it. Let's see. Who's your parents' favorite child?
Me, by far. No, I'm just kidding. But I think so.
You think so?
Yes, me.
Okay. I've asked all of Frank's kids, and they all unanimously said George with no hesitation.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't even think about it. They're just like, George. It's really funny. Where'd you meet your significant other?
East Carolina. We were in college together.
Do you have class together? Did you meet him in the
cafeteria? No, he actually, I actually was friends with him for a few years before we started dating. He ended up living in a dorm of somebody I went to high school with. So I would go hang out with my friend from high school, and Terrence would be with us. And he was always kind of actually a jerk, and I didn't really like him at all. I would always say, like, who is this guy? Why is he's such a jerk? And then finally one day he came up and told me he was interested in me, and I kind of laughed in his face because I thought he was kidding. And somebody said, oh, God, Liz, he's been trying to tell you that for years. And I felt really bad.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So it was not love at first sight then?
No, it was not.
You think
maybe for him, but he didn't tell me.
I was going to say, do you think Terrence would say that? So he was trying to get your attention for years. He finally gets up the courage to do it. And he does, and then you just essentially laughed at him?
I did.
Oh, no. Yeah. That's devastating.
It was. Poor Terrence.
So you did that, and then did your friends tell you, like, no, he's serious, he's really into you, and mm-hmm. then, like, do you go crawling back to him?
I did. We started dating for a while, and it wasn't kind of casual,
mm-hmm.
and then I broke it off because I wasn't ready for anything real serious, and then a couple months went by, and I was the one that went crawling back and decided that I did want something, but he was kind of hesitant at that point, obviously, because I'd blown him off twice, but...
let me make sure. So what was your college experience like?
I absolutely loved college. I loved living in the dorms. I know most people say they don't love living in the dorms, but I lived in the dorms for 2 years, and I thought it was so much fun. I loved having everybody right there and doing everything, you know, meals, gym, parties, classes, everything together, and being right on campus and walking to everything. I loved that. And then I moved off campus with some girls and got an apartment, and that was awesome too. I had a big, great group of friends in college that I loved dearly, but unfortunately, when I started dating Terrence, a couple of the two girls I lived with were sisters, and they took me out one night and told me, you're making a mistake because you've always talked about how you want children and you would love to have a blue-eyed, blonde-haired boy, And Terrence isn't going to give you that. And we don't think you're going to be happy with Terrence.
Wow.
And I said, I cannot believe I've been friends with you for this long and had no idea you were this racist, and then never talked to him again. So unfortunately, I kind of had to remove myself from our group of friends because I just couldn't stomach that. And I lost all my college friends.
Wow.
I moved to Raleigh and kind of started over. But obviously, I wasn't going to, even if I didn't work out with Terrence, I wasn't going to continue to be friends with people that would say something like that to me. So
that was where in your college experience was that?
You senior said two, year.
Oh, that was senior. That was the last. Mm-hmm. Okay, wow. So you went to college for 4 years?
Mm-hmm.
And what'd you get your degree in?
I graduated in 4 years of accounting.
Accounting degree. Mm-hmm. And stupid question, that's what you do today?
No.
No, what do you do now?
I did 10 years in accounting. I'm with the same company, but I switched careers after 10 years. I switched to IT. I started in IT support, and now I'm an IT operations manager. And I've been doing that for almost 9 years.
Oh, wow. What was the worst thing you ever did to one of your siblings? You ever pull a prank on them or cut their hair or get them in, narc on them and get them in trouble? Or
I feel like all of that stuff was done to me. I'm not sure if I did that to them.
You never retaliated against Laura after she did something?
I don't really think I did anything devious to her, no.
Doesn't have to be bad. I mean, it could be a humorous story.
I can't think of anything I've ever done.
That's fine, too.
No.
All right.
Pass on that one.
So that's the last official question I have. I will cut this out if you want. I don't know how comfortable you are talking about it, but it was requested from someone else that I ask you about your adoption story and get in that whole process, because I don't know if a lot of people know that,
sure.
But I know that's a personal thing, and some people may not want to talk about it.
No, I'm perfectly open to talk about it because my kids know about it, so I think it's important that our family understands how they came to
okay.
us.
Okay, so maybe I'll ask you a couple questions from a really naive point of view, because
sure.
I don't understand the whole story, because I imagine a lot of other people don't. So you mentioned that you found out that you were unable to have children.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you had tried for many years.
Mm-hmm.
So you obviously, after trying for years, you got tested, and they found out that you weren't, and then.
So we found out that Terrence could not.
Mm-hmm.
And then we decided to do IVF.
Mm-hmm.
And it went really well. But then when they went in to do the egg retrieval, something happened to me, and my ovaries like expanded or something, and I almost lost them, and they had to go to the hospital, and it was awful experience. And then I was supposed to have like 36 eggs, which is a ton of tries, and we only ended up getting I think 4. And then they did everything they were supposed to do and said everything fertilized, but then they had to call us on like day 4 and tell us that everything had died. So basically $30,000 and months of putting my body through extreme stress and really almost causing some severe things. And it was like, I think that was the most devastating day of all of it
So you tried for years the normal way,
yep.
and it didn't happen. And then
yep.
you went on to have IVF, and you had a bad IVF experience also.
Yep.
Wow. And then, so at that point, is there ever discussion between you, like, maybe this is just fate and I'm not going to do it, or you're just like, nope, we're going to go adopt?
No, we kept trying. We decided, okay, IVF wasn't possible. They wouldn't let us do it again. But we decided maybe we would do in vitro. So we went to a sperm donor because it was Terrence that was the one that wasn't producing enough sperm. So we went to a sperm donor, and we tried that way 5 times maybe, and it wasn't hitting, and it was getting expensive. So then we decided maybe we'll just try, like, an at-home thing. So we actually tried, like, ordered it and showed up at the front door, and we tried that. That didn't work.
Wait, for like, you just ordered sperm on the internet?
Yes, we did.
Oh, my God.
It came in like a...
That's a thing?
I didn't... Yes.
Wow!
Yes.
That's crazy.
And, our Amazon history was a little strange then because we had to order all the supplies to
do
it. It was crazy. But somewhere along the way, one of our doctors said, you need to go talk to this foundation. It was a couple who had gone through what we had gone through and decided to adopt. You need to go talk to them. So we did. We talked to them, and they told us about the whole adoption process, and we were trying to decide if that's what we wanted to do. And African-American couples are very in need for adoption. So this couple that started this foundation adopted their baby through an agency, and the agency was looking for an African-American couple. And they called us and said, hey, we heard you've been interested in adopting. We have this opportunity, and we'd like to see if you're interested. So Terrence and I did say we wanted to be interested in that, but we had also just done in vitro. So I remember going to work and saying, guys, I'm either going to be pregnant with a baby, like, next week, or I'm going to crash and burn and have nothing. And unfortunately, we crashed and burned and had nothing, but it kind of changed our mind that we wanted to go down the adoption route instead. And the ironic thing is this all happened the same week that Rebecca's birth mother was going to go get an abortion, but she couldn't get a ride.
Oh, wow.
And then it just so happened 4 months later, we went through the whole agency thing, got everything set up, and then it's like you just wait for a call. And I was at work one day, and I missed the call, thank God, because I still have the voicemail. They called us and said, you're matched. We have a birth mother that wants to meet you. We're going to set up a match meeting. And Terrence and I got so excited and nervous and all of it. And they said, we're going to, you know, call you, and it'll be about 10 days, and then you guys will meet, and then the baby's due in July. And that was like a Thursday. Well, Saturday, I got a call. I was sitting at home, and they said, the birth mother has gone into labor. You need to come to the hospital.
So how premature is she at this point?
She was a month.
Okay, well, so not crazy premature.
No, not crazy premature. Yeah, yeah. She was like 5.5 pounds, something like that. She wasn't crazy premature, and she was healthy. And the birth mom needed to sign paperwork, so we were like, I got a text message that it was a girl. We didn't know what the sex was in the morning she was born, and then I think I went to work Monday morning to wrap everything up because we were waiting for her to get off morphine to sign, and then we got to go to the hospital and take her into our own room, and we had to stop at Walmart on the way and get all the supplies.
Yeah, right, because you're not prepared.
No, we were not prepared.
You don't have 9 months of planning to paint the room and get all that set up.
No, thank God my mom came out and helped us.
So I don't understand the process. So as the mother, they get preferential treatment? Like, I want my kid to go to an African-American family?
They get to pick the actual family.
Oh, really?
That's why adoption takes so long. You have to be picked. It's not a lottery, and it's not somebody else picks. It's a birth mother comes and said, I want to give my baby up for adoption. And then an agency normally will say, okay, well, we have all of these couples signed up with us. Look at their profiles and tell us which ones you want to meet.
Is it like Tinder? You just like swipe right through families until you
find?
Kind
of. Like, we had to make a video, and we had to make a profile.
Wow, really?
Do
you have to sell yourself?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, wow.
So when we did it with Jacob, we had to come up with our own video and profile, and we had to send it to, I sent it to lawyers that do adoption law. And
so you're skipping a little bit of the story. I'm going to correct you just because you told me this early. So yeah. The first one, so Rebecca, you went through an official adoption agency, mm-hmm. and did the process, the paperwork way.
Yeah.
And you said it was a lot of drama and it was very involved.
It was very involved, and it was very expensive, and it wasn't a great experience.
Right.
And everybody had told us you could do this on your own before we did the agency, but I was scared because I didn't know what I was doing.
Right.
But once we went through all of it, I felt educated enough to do it myself. So Terrence and I sat down and we made a plan. Well, first, there's a little bit of a story that I don't know if a lot of people know about Rebecca. In North Carolina, the birth mom has 3 weeks to change her mind. So we took her home, and the birth mom had 3 weeks to change her mind. And we passed that date. But the birth mom had told us that she just met a guy on a one-night stand and didn't know the father. That wasn't true. She was in a relationship with this guy, and he just didn't want to be the father, but he wanted her to keep the baby. So she had lied in order to give the baby up for adoption because she thought she could get around it.
Lied to the father or lied to?
Lied to the agency.
Oh.
And told her that there wasn't a birth father. Well, the birth fathers have rights.
Right.
And you have to have their signatures. She also was still married, not officially divorced. So now we had to pay for a private investigator to find her original husband, who was up in Pennsylvania in some like VA hospital, to get him to sign off, which he did. But then the birth father came back about week 4 and said, no, I want her. So we had to go back to court. Terrence and I had to walk into a courtroom.
This is 4 weeks after? So she's living at your house for 4 weeks?
No, we didn't end up, our court date wasn't until October.
Oh, wow.
She was born in June.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it was we were way attached. The whole family was way attached.
So she's been living at your house for four months.
Yeah.
So you've been breastfeeding her, or not breastfeeding, you've been feeding her and diaper, you've been doing all the normal mom stuff, and then this court date comes up, and there's a very real possibility where he comes back in and says, okay, I'm going to take this kid you've been bonding with for 4 months?
Yeah.
So that's just a nightmare scenario, right?
The scariest day of my life, yeah. I would say. Yeah.
Yeah, are you just like...
I was shaking. It was awful. I didn't think I was going to get through it because thought they were going to take her from me.
That sounds horrendous. But obviously it didn't happen, right?
Yep, it worked out.
So what happened at the court date?
The court date, the judge listened to his side of the story. He didn't bring a lawyer. He didn't know he needed one. He really thought he had rights. And we had a lawyer. So she had gotten phone records and all kinds of things to show that he was not helping with the pregnancy. He wouldn't support the birth mom. He wouldn't... You're losing your paper with your questions.
Oh.
He wouldn't support the birth mom. He wouldn't... he had texted her some really awful stuff and didn't think that we knew about it. And once we were able to show the judge that he hadn't put forth enough effort to have rights, she took rights from him and made him sign off. And then after that, actually, our lawyer said, do you want to meet him? And Terrence and I were like, I don't know, but okay. And so they took us into a room with his mom and him and Terrence and I.
Oh, so it's not like you're in court arguing with this guy.
No, we were. We were in a courtroom, but then when it was all over, we went into this side room together.
Just to have a conversation?
Down. Yeah. And he said, I didn't know that you guys were good people. I thought she had just given her away to a white family. And I didn't know that the situation, and please just be good to her. She's my only child. He was 42. His mom started talking about, I want to make sure that she gets land that's going to be given to all my grandchildren. And we were kind of like,
wow.
Okay. Yeah, no.
Like you just met this. Yeah. Wow.
And his mom this is the situation he grew up in. His mother actually looked at us and said, I just felt like Tierra was the birth mom's name. I just felt like Tierra should take care of the baby. I mean, my son didn't need to do anything. Come on.
Wow.
Yeah. So okay. Bad situation.
Yeah,
on that.
Right.
But Becca got into the best possible situation. We love her to death and she knows.
So that's the first one. And then you decided to do the second one, I guess, on your own. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the official term is.
Yes. I did it without an agency.
Mm-hmm.
I created a profile. I hired somebody to do our home study and get us approved. You have to get approved through the state to adopt. Once you're approved, you can start advertising yourself just like Tinder or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I advertised us online. There's a website called Adoptimist. I created a Facebook page just for our adoption and started posting on it with stuff that people would search for adoption to come find us. I talked to lawyers.
What do you put on a Facebook page to attract people?
We would just post stuff like, look at Rebecca. Like if we were trying to adopt right now, we would say, look at this family reunion you're at and your child would be a part of this and we would take them in and make them family and you know,
huh.
Be good to them. And so you just post everything about your family. You want the birth mom to feel good about where the baby's going.
So if I had a baby that I wanted to give up for adoption, what do I search for on Facebook to find families?
Adopting families.
So that's it.
Yeah.
Huh?
Just type it in. You'll find them.
I had no idea that was a thing. Interesting. Okay. So you got contacted.
Yep. The lawyer called us, and said, we have a birth mom in Georgia that has contacted a lawyer that I know, and everything she's looking for, you guys have. She wants to have it's an interracial baby. She wants an interracial family. She wants to make sure that the baby goes to a family with other adopted children because she doesn't want this baby to ever feel left out. Or,
right.
You know, you ended up having natural children, whatever. And if you want to talk to her, you can. So we set up a call and we talked to her. And she was very nervous. I wasn't real sure if she was going to go through with it. She hadn't told her family about it. She had given a baby up for adoption at 16. And Jacob was born on a Monday. On Sunday, she was going to a family reunion herself. And so everybody obviously was going to find out. And so I was convinced that somebody was going to step in and say, no, we'll take the baby.
Mm-hmm.
But she told me, no, that's not going to happen. And so it didn't. And Monday, I think, or maybe Sunday afternoon, Terrence and I headed to Georgia. We sent Becca to Grandma's, and we headed to Georgia. Got a hotel room because we knew we were going to have to be there a long time. They told us, you're going to be there anywhere from 1 week to 3 weeks. It just depends how long the judge needs to decide.
So you're just living in a hotel room for 3 weeks, crossing your fingers that it's short. And oh,
yeah,
my gosh.
Yeah. And we went to the hospital. We knew it was going to be a C-section. And we were waiting in the lobby, which was a little awkward because the nurses don't really treat you right.
Oh.
Until, you know, we kind of got treated like second-class citizens until the birth mom finally told her surgeon, I want you to go find them and tell them that I had the baby and he's waiting for you. I don't want him to be alone. So they came like maybe an hour after he was born and came and called us, and we were sitting in just the nursery with him until a room came. We were able to take him up to the room and we spent the night with him.
And then this is in the hospital?
Yeah. So we had our own room with him.
Okay, so the hospital gives you a room as adoptive parents. Like, okay.
Becca, we had a room too. We stayed with her until you're discharged.
That makes sense. I just never.
And then actually, they wheel you out so that people won't question why you're taking the baby. So I had to go out in a wheelchair as if I'd given birth and hold the baby.
Oh, really?
Just like all the other moms.
When I was, I don't remember what it was. One of my kids, we were in the hospital. He's here in the hospital for 3 days. And they have you fill out paperwork, all kinds of paperwork. And I was holding the baby, and they came in and they handed me some paperwork. And I didn't have a, they left. And I looked around and I didn't have a pen, so I still had the baby in my arms. I didn't think anything about it. And I walked just out to the nurse's desk. It's like 12 feet from the door. And I'm like, I'm going to ask if I can have a pen. And like the nurse looks up and she just yells, baby on the floor. And like all of the nurses just basically like look up and swarm at me. I'm like, whoa, what's going on? And they're like, you cannot take the baby out of the room. I'm like, dude, it's like 12 feet from the door. Like, you didn't tell me that. Like, I just need a pen. Can you give me a pen? I was pissed. I was like, anyway. So you're in another state living in a hotel room. Mm-hmm. So how long are you in the hospital?
We were in the hospital for 2 days.
Okay.
Then we went to the hotel room. Luckily, the judge was fast for us, and we were able to leave by Friday. He was born on Monday. We were able to head home on Friday.
Okay, that's good. So
it wasn't long.
And how long car ride is from Georgia to your house?
6 hours.
So you've got a brand new infant in this car for 6 hours. I remember driving with my kids, and it's terrifying. Like, I can't imagine driving 6 hours.
I remember Terrence telling me how scared he was driving. Yeah.
You're like, stupid stuff. Yeah, okay. So you get home, and then you said Rebecca was not super excited about having...
No.
I never thought about
Rebecca. This. She didn't get that 9 months of mommy's pregnant.
Right.
She just went away for a week and came back. She's three. So she's JJ's age right now, right? Can't comprehend a lot. And we're like, Becca, this is your brother. You're a big sister now. Whoa.
And
she was okay with it at first, but then it was like, wait, this one's taking all of mommy's attention from me. I don't like this. And so I really couldn't leave her alone with him for a long time. We were scared she was going to hurt him because she was really hurt.
Seems reasonable, but frustrating, yeah.
She finally, this year, decided that he was going to get old enough to play with her, and that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then decided she was going to start being friends with him, and he thinks she just walks on water. So
really?
They've just kind of created this relationship now where they have separate rooms, but she sleeps in his room.
Yeah.
She just wants to sleep with him. And if I go pick him up from daycare and bring her with me, he just bypasses me like I'm not even alive and goes straight to her. So now,
you know what? I guess that's
bonding.
Probably good.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's probably hard for you, but it's probably good
long-term.
No, I
love it because they're adopted siblings, so you just don't know how that's going to go.
Right.
And they're bonding so great right now that I hope it continues. I really hope. Terrence and I did not want to have an only child that was adopted because we wanted this child to have somebody, an outlet,
mm-hmm.
that went through the same thing as them.
Yeah.
That they could lean on each other.
So Rebecca knows she's adopted.
She does.
JJ's probably too young to understand.
Yeah.
But you'll clearly tell him.
Yep.
So this is not going to be 18, by the way, you were adopted. No. Okay.
So we had to go through therapy before we did the IVF, and they told us that the healthiest way to do it is to start talking to them when they're infants, so that when you have conversations with them, it's natural and normal. And I don't think of it as anything different anymore myself. Like, you have to talk about it enough to where it's just normal. And so then when you have conversations with them, they feel good. They're normal, and this is just my life.
It's just the way it is, right? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So for the record, because I don't imagine we'll listen to this for years, maybe, your kids are how old right now?
They're 6 and 3.
Okay. So we'll see. The next family reunion, they'll probably be 13 and 16, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
We'll see.
We'll see how things go.
Anything else you want to cover? Any questions I didn't ask? Any stories you want to tell? Now is the time.
I can't think of anything. I think I talked a lot.